This is the MLWRadio.com network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network, as well as on cagematch.net. We're back. I'm your host, Striga, joined by Dylan, who I surprised when I gave him the call yesterday that we're doing a show today.
Pleasantly surprised, of course.
Sure.
We're at a very interesting time in the world of Japanese wrestling. But, you know, when you look at it, obviously, coming off of the G1 climax, so much stuff going on there, so much coverage that we did for that tournament. And now we look at some of the other things going on in Japan
yes.
right now, because there's always something more, there's always another step. It's a never-ending story, much like life itself. I always say wrestling a microcosm of life, and we will continue to go through that journey together, along with all of you, the wonderful listeners of the Eastern Lariat as well. So thank you all for listening, and hopefully we have a great show today. Lots of cool stuff to talk about.
Absolutely. Before we go into any of the other companies, let's quickly take a look back at New Japan Pro Wrestling. They announced their big lineups for Destruction in Kobe. They have 5 matches lined up. Well, the King of Pro Wrestling, Taiji, defends against Sho. IWGP Tag Team title, Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi go against Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste. And then we have 2 special singles matches. First, Shingo Takagi versus the Great Okan. Well, that's a match between United Empire and LIJ that I'm not very hyped about. Another special singles match, Tetsuya Naito against Jeff Cobb. No contract on the line, Dylan, here.
Oh, like it looks like it's just we're just going to go with it. They're not even going to give us the pretense of anything like that that's going to happen, yeah. Which Naito, probably no Naito difference made.
Yeah, exactly. Naito had this deal on Tokyo Sports, or in the press conference, actually, after the G1 climax. He was asked about the contract, and he said, I don't know, last year there was no contract, so what if I lose this match? What do I have to lose? And nobody said, you got to lose the contract or the briefcase, and he just figured, I could just lose this match, and we're just having this match for fun. Yeah.
Hell, that's what he should do. Yeah, he should just totally do that. Just lose on purpose.
Yes. Well, that's one way to sell a match, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's honest, at least.
Yes. And a final match on that show is for the IWGP quote-unquote UK title. Will Ospreay defense against Yoda Tsuji. Yeah, this show is in Kobe World Hall. We're wondering what this will do. None of these matches really scream that it will be a big draw.
This doesn't sound like a blockbuster show to you?
Nah.
Man, what more can you ask for than this great lineup of matches they've given us?
This great lineup of matches, of which most of them are rematches, yeah.
Yeah, yes, with no stakes attached to most of them, besides
that. The yeah.
Great stuff.
Well, then...
Let's just be honest about New Japan for like literally the next 4 months.
Don't matter.
It's a cruise control company at the moment. Like, until Wrestle Kingdom, nothing matters in this company, pretty much.
On the topic of nothing matters, NJPW Destruction in Ryogoku on October 9. They have this special 7-match series where Ren Narita and Shota Umino, they don't have singles matches, but they have all six-man tag matches. Seven matches with the same six guys in it. It's always Yuji Nagata, Shoto Umino, and Master Wato against Minoru Suzuki, Ren Narita, and El Desperado. I was pretty hyped about Shota and Ren going out of the G1, but now, with the outlook of having seven six-man tag matches on that tour, no thank you.
And none of them are none of them are interesting. So that's another problem. It's like, okay, you've got Umino with kind of this weak team, Narita kind of his normal group, obviously. But yeah, what
strong style group?
Yeah, but what's the hook for this? At the end of the day, this six man, even one match, let alone seven.
Yeah, why would I be invested in Master Wato or El Desperado going in this in these matches?
No clue. really is no good answer for that. Just with the way the schedule works, the junior division is where it's at right now, and clearly not exactly a focal point the last 3-4 months or so since the tournament ended, Best of Super Juniors. So, yeah, Nagata, I mean, you know, like that, what? You know, it's like, what is this? You're supposed to be wanting to push these guys as the future of your company. I don't know. Again, the truth is, nobody cares about this show at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean,
they basically punted these entire few months.
The matches might be good, and there might be some stories going out of these matches, but going in this six-man series feels really cold and weird. And then we have a couple of more matches for the Strong Openweight Tag Team title, Alex Covlin and Gabe Kidd against El Fantasma and Hikuleo. That sounds like a sumo hall match. For the Never Openweight title, we got another rematch, David Finlay against Tama Tonga. And, of course, Zanada versus Evil for the world title. In my head, Dylan, I'm right now debating which of the two shows we just talked about is colder.
I mean, that's a great question. One is at Sumo Hall, though, so
that it might be hotter because it's at Sumo Hall.
Yeah, it's like, well, it might be, like, that should, you should have higher expectations for that. The other one, it's like, okay, a tour show, of course it's probably not going to be that great. The Destruction show, that should be something we care about. Like, that should be hot. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem like
that. Koei World is also rather big building.
Yeah, but it's not as big as, you know, Sumo. So, like, it's not a name show either. Like, you know, usually it's King of Pro Wrestling, but now they moved Destruction to the October show for whatever reason. They have. But normally, this is one of their bigger shows. You've seen title changes happen here in the past and things like that.
It's a big weekend, usually, yeah?
Yeah, so it makes you wonder why so little effort has been put into this, ultimately. I guess just because Sonata and Evil, that's a complete... You know, it appeals to the old-school LIJ fan, their history, Sonata and Evil... And if it hooks you, it hooks you. And if it doesn't, the undercard probably won't matter because the main event's so bad, ultimately. And they're banking on that, I guess. I mean, I don't know if it'll be successful or not, but that's what it feels like to me. They're going all in on this LIJ deal, which ultimately that's what this title reign is about for Sonata. Like, his whole title reign has been fighting LIJ to get to Naito.
Right.
Going to have it at the Dome.
You can't have a title match in this title reign if you haven't been a former member of LIJ.
Or a current member.
A recurrent member, yeah. Maybe Okada should join LIJ.
Maybe Goto should join LIJ.
Maybe.
That could get him back in the title mix.
Yes. I hate to break it to you, but he would lose, unfortunately.
That's not any kind of bad news to me. It's exactly what I would expect. So.
Yeah, well, that's New Japan in Japan. Have you seen any of those matches for those shows in the US, the All-Star Junior Festival and the Multiverse show?
No.
Me neither. And looking at these shows, specifically the Junior Festival show, I really don't have any intent of watching these matches.
I might give some of the Impact show a look. You know, Shelley and Tanahashi in the main event. That yeah. could be good. The women's match looks all right, like the four-way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
the matches, they sound all right. I mean, Bayley and the Junior Festival sounds okay. You'll probably have some good matches. It's just nothing really on the show screams like I need to see this. There's so much other stuff going on at the moment, which we're going to talk about in the show later, that I rarely have time for these US shows because none of these shows really feel like that they're in any way important.
Are you telling me that the Philly Cheesesteak Cup isn't important?
The Philly Cheesesteak Cup of all the matches is the most important on these shows.
Low Rider.
Yep.
In a big match. Big match there.
Who would have ever seen it coming?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm looking at this card right now, and I don't know, yeah. man. I don't know what to tell you on this.
That's the genius card that Hiromu Takahashi put together.
Pretty questionable booking, up and down, I would say.
Yes, we're not too hyped about New Japan Pro Wrestling right now, so let's turn our attention back to Japan. And I was just saying hot and cold for these shows for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Dragon Gate had their Dangerous Gate show in Ota City General Gymnasium. When I was watching the show, I was wondering how many fans they really had in attendance, because to me, this was a pretty darn cold crowd. They didn't really react big to anything on that card, even though they had almost 1,900 people in attendance. It didn't really seem like there were that many people. I wouldn't say I was shocked about the crowd, but it tells you something about the recent months that Dragon Gate have put on, that the crowd is so cold for most of the wrestlers they put in prominent positions.
Yeah, I kind of peeped this on the King of Gate final. It felt like that, you know, 1,250 number was a little interesting, to say the
least.
Yeah,
this number seems interesting as well, you know?
Yeah, like the other one had photos which showed a lot of
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This one,
most of the upper bleachers in Ota Ward were completely empty.
Yeah.
They basically only had the floor seating that was seemed rather full. I don't know.
I don't think this, to be fair though, this show didn't give them a lot to really go crazy over, I would say. It wasn't a bad show, don't get me wrong. Nah. But, you know, Minoru, the main event for 30 minutes almost, and preceded by the tag match, which I thought was a terrible match.
It was, yeah. This is one of the matches where I had to think about. I discussed that with Flush on Straight Wrestling when we talked about the G1 Climax. We talked about ratings for Evil matches, and they tend to be better when Evil doesn't win. And that's the one thing that I'll give this tag match, that in the end, Z-Brats did not win the match, because otherwise it would have been even more terrible.
Yeah, I mentioned that on the final show, and I just think that's
interesting. We talked about it here, maybe, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was saying, because somebody at Cage Match made that exact comment.
Yeah.
And I agree with him. And I also agree that that's really stupid. Like, that's not the right way to grade matches. But, you know, regardless, this match still sucked, regardless of who won or lost, ultimately. And it's a shame, because there's a lot of good talent here. I think the wheels may be coming off this M3K run the last couple of times. I mean, they had a great run.
Yeah, it's...
It's a very short time at the end of the day. And I think that they've hit their max with that. And there's no real good options, you know, at this point to go away from that. You know, so it's a really tough spot, ultimately. Z-Brats is like, with Shun gone, it's just a weird group.
I don't even know why they're still around. Just because they are the heel team, I guess?
Well, exactly. They're a necessary evil. But they have no heat to them. Like, you know, there's nothing to be interested in any of these guys. I mean, the Ishin match, the Brave Gate title match, I thought was all right. But, you know, it was a nice match. I thought Mochizuki Jr. looked really good. Yeah. They tried to do some different stuff, at least, and I applaud them for that. And they at least had, unlike most of this card, that match had something to sink your teeth into from a story perspective. They had a history.
That's right. Yes, they have the history. Ultimately, as you said, Mochizuki Jr., when he was in offense, he really looked great. All of his offense, his strikes, his suplexes looked completely on point. Whenever Ishin got on top, it became very dry. Because the guy just doesn't have a lot to him, at least not right now. I don't know if what his issue is. He's supposed to be this dominant figure in this Bravegate run. And whenever Jay is on commentary, he's not shy to tell Ishin's story that he thinks he will bring the Bravegate title back to prominence. And none of his opponents are really on his level. But when you watch the matches, it doesn't really come across like that. Because when he's on top, he just seems to be... He just is there without any of the shit talking that he apparently does outside of his matches. And yeah, this, as you said, Mochizuki Jr. looked great. Otherwise, this match didn't have a lot going for it. It was another one of those Bravegate matches on the undercard that's around 10 or 12 minutes that... On Twitter, I think I saw Yannick talk about it, that this match will be called back in a couple of years, and that may be true, but not for the reason that this match was great or anything, but just for the story of it. Otherwise, this match will probably be forgotten in very short time.
Yeah, I think this whole show may be forgotten in record time. You know, we did an interview on the Dream Dragons with Ho-Ho Loon. And he really put over Ishin strong, and basically saying, like, if you weren't wrestle him in the ring, it's like you don't even notice how young he is. Like, pretty much. He's very in control. That kind of gives me vibes of, like, how American wrestlers talk about Randy Orton, which is like, yeah, he does a lot of good stuff if you're wrestling him, but to watch his matches isn't always the greatest, pretty much. And Ishin kind of feels like that to me. But the thing is, him and Mochizuki Jr. had a great feud last year. Ishin went through not a rebranding necessarily, but a repackaging of sorts earlier this year, and I think he's really been for the worse off ever since then with the new gear. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And I think he's really lost a lot since then, so it's an interesting thing that they went with him of everybody. If it were me, I would have put the title on Jr. I think that guy has star power.
But this wasn't going to happen in this match.
I don't even think Ishii should have won the title. I think Junior should have won the title instead of him, ultimately. I just don't... You know, and I like the idea of the story that they're telling with that you mentioned. Hey, we're bringing the Bravegate back, because it does need to be brought back at the end of the day. I mean, you go back to last year at Kobe World, Hyo is the champion. And that title reign did nothing for the title.
Yeah.
Minorita, a fun comedy character, but not a champion. Like that was not a good title reign to bring prestige to the title. Jason had big ideas, but was never really able to get off the ground because of the reasons you said. Like, you know, undercard 10-minute match, you can only do so much. So now we're back to Ishin again, where, I don't know, because to me, I always think of the Bravegate as almost, you know, historically with Dragon Gate now, maybe not lately, obviously with the names I just said, obviously not lately. But, you know, you go back in history, you look at some guys, this is the title Dragon Kid was known for. You know, Pac back in the old days. You know, people like that. Doi was the Bravegate champion for a while. You had Genki. You know, a lot of legendary names held this title. And this was kind of like the work rate title in a lot of ways. The other ones, even when Dragon Gate was at their peak of, you know, high speed junior wrestling, all that stuff, The Dreamgate matches always had good build, long matches. They were traditional matches, ultimately. They got kind of a bad rap because people would kind of typecast the promotion. But the Bravegate was, to me, the heart of Dragon Gate style. And it's really lost its way over the... I would say ever since maybe, like, SBK?
I'm just looking at these title runs, and I am... it's hard to really find a title run that...
Yeah, look at this. I'm looking at it right now. Oh, Ishida, I think, was the best one.
Ishida was, but I think the second SB Kento run really was good.
Yeah, it was. He did a great job.
It was still a long shot from those title runs that, for example, Masato Yoshino had.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's how I think of it. Dragon Kid, Yoshino, Doi, back before they were main eventers and stuff like that. Genki, you know, like those guys were having awesome matches up and down. And yeah, like you said, the SBK run was good, but not... And that was a story run because he was a heel type of guy.
And that made it somewhat stand out in comparison to the other runs that we had in recent time. That's what I've been saying about the Dreamgate scene as well when we go to Madoka Kikuta.
Yeah.
There's no stories behind these title matches, really. There's always this underlying heat between some of the wrestlers in Dragon Gate, of course, but the SB Kento title run at least had somewhat of stories behind it. The Dragon Dire title run that didn't really have a lot of steam behind it. Then we go to Hio, as you said, a little story-driven title run because of his heel character, of course. But then Minorita, the comedy run, Jason Lee didn't have anything. Ishin, as of right now, only has the Mochizuki connection going for him. There isn't a lot. And when we go back before SB Kento, there was the Kaito Ishida and Keisuke Okuda title
and I really title like matches. That.
I really like that as well. That was very, very good.
Yeah.
The Brave Gate.
You're looking at 3 years ago now. Mm-hmm. Like going back to some of these too.
Yeah, the Brave Gate doesn't seem like it's the work rate title anymore. But for the most recent part of its existence, it's been quite more of an undercard title or a midcard title.
Yeah, mid-card at best right now. I hope that they can get back. And like I said, I like the idea. Is Ishin the one to do it? I'm not seeing the evidence of that, to be honest with you. But, I mean, like I said, at least this match had a story, which is more than a lot of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah, there's not a lot on this show, to be quite honest. The undercard didn't have anything. It was a really cold show for the most part of it. At least we had the usual cool opening by Natural Vibes. The match itself was fine. Then we had this 8-man tag that was shifted at last minute because Minorita couldn't make it. So Ho-Lun made the card, which is, of course, good for him. This was a nothing match of 8 wrestlers that don't have a lot in common in story. The 6-man tag, we had the Reiwa generation of Benkei, Storm Machine J, and Yuki Yoshioka, all of 3 different stables, work together against the veteran group of Don Fuji, Masaki Mochizuki, and Tomohiro Ishii. This had some nice fire between Benkei and Ishii, and also Mochizuki, of course, looked great in this match. Once again, he was the one to get the finishing frog splash from Yuki Yoshioka. Before that, we saw Strong Machine and Benkei beat Mochizuki up before Yoshioka could deliver the frog splash. The clear story here is that the Reiwa current generation beat the veterans and worked together while doing it. Even though they will still be battling each other, they found together against the veterans here.
Yeah, that to me, that was my favorite match on the show, was the 6-man.
I
thought they did a good job. I said this to somebody else, but it's a matter of keeping your expectations in check. Especially when you see the names on paper, you get some of the best guys in the company. We'll talk about Yoshioka and Noah, because there's a lot to talk about with him. But Ishii coming in, like a great one-off special for New Japan. But you're also not getting G1 Ishii in a 6-man tag in the mid-card as well. So I wasn't really expecting that. So I ended up liking it. If you're expecting like a match of the year or something like that, this wasn't like that. But it was a really good match that actually accomplished something and told a nice little story with these big 6 teaming together. A big 3, I guess, in this match, so to speak. But I love the veteran team. I thought Mochizuki's awesome. Don Fuji, always fun in these matches. And Ishii did his thing, had some good fire-ups with Benkei and Yoshioka. And Strong Machine, all of them did good. Like, I thought everybody did their job in this match well. And it was just a really good overall match at the end of the day. It wasn't like anything super, super spectacular, but it's the one I would recommend on the show.
So if this is your favorite match on the show, what did you think about the 2 singles matches? Yamato against Fujita Hayato and Madoka Kikuta against Kota Minoura?
Oh, I felt the exact same thing about both of those. So boring. But both of these matches, like, what was going on with the main event going almost 30 minutes? Minoru, that was crazy. Yamato, I have no interest in any of these matches. Him and Hiromu was a nothing match. This wasn't any better. It's a shame because you have Fujita Hayato, one of the best.
Mm.
The one good thing about it, not even a good thing, because I actually think it's kind of bad, but the one interesting thing of the match was the UWF champion losing to a chokeout.
Yeah.
To Yamato, of all people.
Great has no pull whatsoever in wrestling.
What a finish! Of all people, Yamato. The sleeper hold finish. I don't know. I just thought it was a really nothing match, honestly.
Yeah, it had some good sequences on the ground, on the mat, with some nice counter holds to it. But ultimately, I kind of agree. I thought it was a good match, but didn't really light my world on fire. I saw some people online really raving about the match. And even when we look at, we only have one rating so far for the match. It's a 9 out of 10. I'm not nearly as high on the match. I was higher on the main event, Madoka Kikuta and Kota Minoura. I really liked the match, even though the match, like you said, it was too long. This one would have been much better if they cut like 6 or 8 minutes from it. But I think the match had a lot of it going for it because you really didn't sense who was going to win the match until the final lariat really hit. So going in the match, I think a lot of people expected Kota Minoura to go over. In the end, it was Kikuta. And I said it before the show, I didn't really sense that Kota Minoura had to win the title at this moment. I think they'll still be able to bring him back. And it would have done damage, I think, to Kikuta to lose the title at this point of his run. Because this run, in the end, if you look back at it, at this point, it's really not a run that has anything special about it. They really need to do something, pull something out of the hat for this guy so that he at least gets a strong title match on Final Gate.
Yeah. If you just compare this to their April match, I just thought it was like such a downgrade from what we had there. Like, there's just no fire to this match at all to me. I'm really surprised to see Kikuta struggle so much as champion. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, ultimately, maybe the Dreamgate was a step too far for him, ultimately. Like, it was just a little too soon. They had the story, but he's not really lighting my world on fire as champion at the moment, to be honest. And we'll see. Like, we'll see how it goes with what next.
That's ultimately the thing that I said about the crowd, too.
Yeah.
If you look at this company up and down, they've really done a very poor job.
Yes.
In recent months to create anything special, anything that really gets the interest up. And the one thing they did, they don't even talk about anymore. They don't even talk about the mask match at Kobe World. It might as well happened in a completely different universe, Dylan.
Yeah, that's one thing that I mentioned. And one thing because we don't know the circumstances of all this, but ultimately, sure, we saw something. If you go back to that show at Kobe World, the crowd was into that match, the cage match. Like, you could tell that they were fired up for that and everything. But you see the company lose their top babyface and their top heel because one of them went to Mexico and the other one went to America. They're gone now. Mm-hmm. So the guys that you have the most, you know, hope in are all gone. And they didn't really have anybody to be that A2 to their A1s pretty much with the baby faces. And they're trying with Kikuta, but there's just not a lot there that they've done. Like you said, I think the company needs to get behind somebody, some kind of big angle that they can run, in my opinion. Like, more than any one challenger or one wrestler, even though I'm not a fan of Minoura, like, I think he was the wrong person to challenge, but I think that they need to, more than any one challenger, they need a hot angle for somebody, a big turn or something crazy to happen that will have people talking. I think that they, if they have something in their back pocket they've been saving until Diamante gets back, it might be time to break the glass and just like run that now and let's try and get some fire under this title reign of this promising young talent who is the champion.
I had a brief exchange with Amy about what they could do, and Natural... Yes, absolutely. Natural Vibes seems like a group that could have one or two traders in them. UT in recent weeks had been losing a lot, but he attaches himself so strongly to KZ that on the one hand, it seems unlikely that he'll be the one to stab Natural Vibes in the back. But then again, it could even have more impact if he was the one.
Then, he's a job guy, though.
Yeah, he's the job guy.
You need a star.
Exactly. Then you have Big Boss Shimizu. Shimizu, he feels left out of the Reiwa 6. He now has the singles match with Benkei coming up on September 7, I think it's in Kirken Hall. That's the same show where Takuma Nishikawa is going to have his Japanese wrestling debut. He has been in Mexico for 1 year, I think. He's coming back now. They are going to have that singles match. And with everything behind Big Boss Shimizu coming up short in the King of Gate, even though defeating the champion, I think he could be a guy that could be heated up to be a rival for Kikuta for the next coming months. And him beating Benkei doesn't seem like completely impossible, at least at Benkei's level right now. And then there's the question where Shimizu goes in the next coming months, and we talked about Zebrats being kind of a weak heel unit. They could really need someone like Big Boss Shimizu, and Big Boss Shimizu feels like a wrestler that could really need a rebranding.
Yeah, I think pretty much everyone thinks that's what's going to happen, pretty much. Like, they've set it up perfectly for Shimizu to get the next title shot. Him turning makes a lot of sense. Now, I think he's definitely going to beat Benkei and get the next title shot. With the turn, you want it to happen, but again, we've always been saying, well, ha, this is when the big thing, like the big angle is going to happen, then that never comes.
I'm not even saying it.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, they tried to do that a little bit earlier when they started this whole Big Six stuff. They kind of did an angle with him where he was like, hey, what about me? I should be in the Big Six.
Yep.
And then they just retconned it, you know, pretty much. Like, they dropped it immediately, almost.
Not really, because he came out after the six-man tag where the Reiwa generation won the match, so they're still going back to looking back at that angle.
Yeah, they're trying to heat it up again, but they haven't done anything with it in like 3 months at this point, and now they're trying to do it. And that's where this is going to lead to. It's going to be him versus Kikuta in the next title shot, and he probably will turn
heel. Gate of Destiny in Osaka, right?
Yeah. And that's his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, he's from Osaka, so it makes perfect sense. But that makes you think he might not turn heel, maybe until after.
Maybe until after, yeah. Maybe until he gets another loss, so that makes that would put him up for a heel turn.
Hey, I love him. Like, I think he's one of their best workers. Like, and I've always thought that. Like, all the way back to the Big R days, you know, that he was one of their top guys, in my opinion. They haven't really used him like that ever, to be honest. But unfortunately, that's just how it goes sometimes. And now they're trying to get behind him. And he has an opening, basically, because there's nobody left at this point. So now he gets a chance, and a deserving one. And I think him and Kikuta, we saw their match in the tournament. Now, that match had something to it. Like, out of all the tournament matches,
that was one of the best matches in the tournament. And that's a lot of heat. Yeah. All of Shimizu's matches actually in the tournament had a lot of heat behind it. Remember the great Shun Skywalker match in the first round?
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought the Shimizu and Kikuta match was the best match of the whole tournament, personally. Mm-hmm. And like you said, even his earlier matches, he had some good stuff. I like him a lot. I think he's a great choice to go with. It's just, like you said, I do think that they do need an angle of some sort. Never mind him, just for the company as a whole. And how they get to that is going to be interesting. But like you said, there's openings there with Zebrats, everything going on. They have a chance now to do something with that.
Looking at the schedule right now, Gate of Destiny in Osaka is only scheduled for November 5. That's a long time. There is, in between now and that, there is Gate of Origin on October 9. That's in Sendai. Would you want to do the title match there? I think you would want an Osaka guy in the main event in Osaka.
Yeah, exactly. It makes more sense for him to get that in Osaka. Maybe they could have a one-off at Origin. Because they have a lot of veterans. Maybe that's something you could put Yamato in that spot. Coming off the win over Hayato.
Yeah, he could surely claim a title match. Sure, why not?
Yeah, it's not interesting, but it's a filler match to build to the Osaka show, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all that show is going to be, anyway. You know, that's not slated to be as big of a show.
But then so again, do you want... Yamato is, of course, also going for the Michinoku Pro Tohoku Junior Heavyweight title, but that doesn't really matter in the Eyes of Dragon Gate, I guess.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, could be Yamato. He's the only one who really seems like he has something going for him. Unless Benkei, out of the blue, wins the match against Shimizu and then gets the title match against Kikuta. But then how do you get to Shimizu again?
Yeah, that would pretty much throw a wrench into that whole story, because now you've lost to the Big Six. Like, you can't really claim that as much anymore. Like, the best part of the story is him going through the Big Six to get to Kikuta.
Like, so that would maybe mean that... Oh, it could mean, because he was also talking to Yuki Yoshioka after the match, and Yoshioka just left without even talking to Shimizu. So, here's my idea. He beats Benkei in Kuroken, and then gets the match with Yuki Yoshioka at Gate of Origin in Sendai. Maybe Kikuta gets a filler defense, like you said, on that show. And Shimizu beats Yoshioka at that show on October 9, and then gets the title match against Kikuta in November.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I think that's what everybody, again, maybe not exactly like that, but they want the idea to be Shimizu works his way through the Big Six.
Yeah.
And then gets to the title, which I think is a good story. It's not lighting the world on fire. Maybe they can play with that a little bit, but it's a very tried and true traditional story. A guy works his way up to get to the champion and then gets the title shot in his hometown. It's hard to do a better build than that, like just in terms of a traditional pro wrestling company. I don't know if that's, like I said, I feel like the company needs a shot in the arm almost, like something really radical.
They
like
really need a shake up of the units.
Yeah, exactly. Like something, like they need a spark of some sort. Like that's a good story and like a great match potentially with Shimizu. I think right now though, they even more than that need, like I said, something like a big shakeup, big change, something that totally shakes the foundation of the company. Similar to when they did the Toriumon deal, like yep. with Dragon, like the whole company changed. I think that they need something like that, or even something like. When Shun turned, like an angle that totally changed everything at the end. I don't know what they could do that would be like that right now, but I do think that they need to work on that. maybe they do the Shimizu thing, have a very solid, tried-and-true bread-and-butter storyline, have a great match, and then at Final Gate, that's when they pull the trigger on something crazy to set up next year. Pretty much, like, you know, basically set the stage for the whole year and it being a hot year for them.
Yeah. That's probably what they need. Yeah, I'm not too hyped, to be honest, after this show. Usually their Kurikans, historically their Kurikans have been those shows that were the hottest. And that really gave us a direction.
Look no further than the opening round of King of Gate.
Yeah.
The first show they did there. That was one of their hottest shows.
Yep. They really need something. They really need to put out a show that that gives us a clear indicator where they're going.
And I think once they get Shun and Diamante back, that will help too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and that's why I give them a little bit of a pass for this, because they lost the two guys that they put their most stock into, and it's an unfortunate thing, but also it's a tough spot to be in. It's like, oh, in an alternative universe where Diamante stays and he wins the tournament and challenges, I think we're in a much better spot. Like, you know, I think we have a different opinion coming off of the show. If Diamante could rise his way to the title, or, you know, and something like that, they could build to him and Shun. Strong Machine also kind of lost at sea right now without Shun there. They still have that to roll on. So I think they have a lot of interesting things they can do once those guys get back. And that's why I'm with you. I didn't think this was a great show by any stretch of the imagination.
No,
but
no.
I give them a little bit of a pass.
Hmm. Yeah. On the contrary, though, I mean, they knew they would be losing Shun Skywalker and Diamante for the foreseeable future, I guess.
Well, Shun, they definitely did. Diamante, I don't know.
That's maybe a different story, though, but they knew they would be losing Shun Skywalker, and they still figured it's a good way to just have Zebrats continue as whatever they are right now.
Yeah, and maybe that'll change with Shimizu. I mean, realistically, what could they have done between Kobe and now that Zebrats would have been much more popular now, or high now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, like, so they're kind of in this holding phase, like I said, until Shun gets back. Because ideally, if you're going to shake up Zebrats, he needs to be involved in that. Like, somebody needs to beat the hell out of him, or he turns on somebody, or a new group comes in. Like, something like that. You need Shun. Like, if you do something with him now, it's like, yeah, you've got the bench players, pretty much. Like, now, it's like, no offense to them, but it's like, nobody's electrified by these three here. And I'm a fan of Kai. I loved his title reign last year, but he had his shot. He's a mid-card at the end of the day. And Hyo never was. It's like, and Isshin, the jury's out on and right now. So there's nobody that's really grabbing your heart. So, you know, it's again, they're just in a really weird and tough spot right now. And I hope that they can turn it around a little bit.
Let us turn our attention then, you already mentioned it, Yuki Yoshioka of Dragon Gate is in the N1 Victory 2023. The tournament is going on with two more shows left. And as of right now, in Block A, Jake Lee is leading the block, but recently dropped points because he had two back-to-back time limit draws in Sapporo, wrestled 60 minutes on these two shows. Jake Lee at 8, Masaki Tamiya at 7, Yoshioka at 6, same as Kano, Jack Morris at 5, Thatcher and Adam Brooks at 4, and Yoshiki Inamura still hasn't gotten a single victory in this tournament, is at 0. In Block B, we have a bunch of guys at 6. I think that's pretty similar to what you predicted on your show that you did with Dean and with Dr. Jonathan, right?
Yeah.
We have Nakajima, Lance Anoa'i, Goshi Ozaki, Elihu Detective Wagner Jr., and Manabu Soya all at 6, while Saxon Huxley, Daiki Inaba are at 4, and Yuma Anzai dropped out with 2 points. Dylan, I had the chance to catch up on the shows after the G1 Climax finished, and I really, really enjoyed the Korakuen Hall stretch that they did over the course of these 3 days. And I want to say the crowds for the first and second day of the Triple Shot weren't really high. The crowd number wasn't really high, but I thought that the audience was much, much hotter, for example, than the crowd that we just talked about in Dragon Gate, because they're really invested in a lot of these wrestlers. And I really enjoyed what I got to see here. I'm really high on Manabu Soya right now. I think he's having a great tournament. I love the guy. Masaki Tamiya, I think, is looking strong in the tournament as well. That's two of the more mid-card guys that don't really get a lot attention all over the year. But when they get the chance to wrestle in these tournaments, they usually are doing really good for themselves. On the third day of the N1, that's the second day of the Triple Shot in Korakuen, we had Nakajima and Wagner Jr. in a match that it was pretty good. And in the main, we had Kano and Yoshiki Inamura. And I gotta say, I was really high on that match. I thought that Kano and Yoshiki Inamura had great chemistry. And Kano, in the end, put out this strong performance against him. This was rated 7.85 on Cage Match. This went almost 30 minutes. I didn't really feel that match was going that long. How about you?
Yeah. So much in the tournament here, when you look at it, I think it's definitely been more positive than negative overall, pretty much. But this match with Kenno and Inamura, that's the main event of night three. I agree with what you said, too. The crowds that were there were very passionate. And the third night actually did have a bump up in attendance, too, compared to the first two nights, which was good.
Yeah, the third night was on the Friday, too.
Yeah, that definitely helped. So you had a good match in the main event there. Yeah, I thought that Kenno and Inamura, good match overall. I thought that they did a really nice job here. Inamura, I thought that they did a great job of kind of Kenno pushing Inamura, kind of like bringing in their old mentor-mentee relationship. I wish that Inamura had won because the crowd was so into him pretty yeah. well. And I thought that he looked like, when you watch him, if you don't know how they use him, like if you never knew anything about his points total or anything, if you just watch him as him, he feels like a star player when you watch him wrestle. It's just he never does anything, pretty much, at the end of the day. The only problem, and me and Dean talked about this on the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat, one of the things we didn't like about it was the big spot of this match was the PFS to the ankle of Inamura, which looked fantastic. It was a great move. The problem is the finish was a submission to the shoulder. Like, it would have been better if he had used the ankle lock instead. Like, because you had done this great spot with the PFS to the ankle, which was awesome. And he sold it really well, too. And that's another thing I'm really impressed by. Inamura is just a total package. Charisma, great offense, great on defense, selling. I think he's like a total package wrestler. But he sold it well, and then you just go to the shoulder lock as the finish. So that is one thing I didn't like, but still a great match overall. Definitely one that everybody should check out.
Yeah, and then he had the match against Adam Brooks over the weekend, which was a total nothing match. He still has...
Who does he have left?
He's got Jake coming up next.
Ah, yeah, he's got Jake Lee. He's not going to win that match. Jake already dropped 2 points.
Yeah, that's a tough spot.
He can
and
win against...
Yoshioka the last.
Yeah.
Do you think he's winning either of these matches?
I think like they had something. This is another thing we discussed. Like Dean's idea for this made perfect sense to where Inamura could get his first ever win over the champion,
right?
That controls Jake. But now, then we recorded our show after the fourth, which was after the Corkin triple shot. So then you have these two other matches, and he drew both of them. You know, it would have been different if he had won both of them. Then you could see him dropping the fall to Inamura.
Yeah, but you want the champion alive on the last day, right?
Exactly. Well, I'm saying if he had won, he would have had 12 points. If he had won, he could have lost Inamura.
Yeah.
Now, or 10 points rather, and he could have easily lost to Inamura. But now with the draws, that more or less takes Inamura out of it to beat him more or less. Because like you said, you need him kind of there. Maybe they do another draw with Jake. 30 minutes, maybe, here. Another one. That's Inamura's big win of the tournament, is that he gets to draw Jake.
Is he winning against Yuki Yoshioka?
I could see that. I think it would have been better, again, if they had worked it to where he could have beaten Jake. And then your first, because you got to remember, not only does he have 0 points in this tournament, he's never won a singles match in this company over a non-young lion in his entire career. Okay, facts. Like I'm not making that up.
Either. Yeah.
Like, so to get his first ever win over the champion and then beat another former world champion in Yoshioka, okay, now you've got momentum all of a sudden. You could really hit the gas with him. But now, I don't know. But I could see, like, Yoshioka, let's say Yoshioka's alive on the last night. Inamura eliminates him. He defends Noah, like, as the Noah guy to save it from the Dragon Gate guy advancing. I could see that.
That could work out.
I don't think it's as good if he would have. As if he would have beaten Jake, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you look at the points totals. How are they going to do this? You know, because now Jake's got an 8. And Kenno and Yoshioka are at 6. So, I guess the only way they could do it is if Jake and Kenno both win, and Kenno would win on the last day, because Kenno and Jake face on the last night.
To level with points, right?
Exactly, and Kenno would get the edge over him. Mm-hmm. And you need Kitamiya and Yoshioka to lose one from them. So
Kitamiya is for sure losing because he has been kind of on a hot run, at least for him, for his level.
Yeah, I mean, he's right there in the lead. Right, I think there. They've shown him respect in this tournament.
Yep.
But, you know,
I was much more of a fan of the Jake Lee versus Masaaki Tamiya match than of the Jake Lee versus Jack Morris match. Thought the Masaaki Tamiya match had more intensity to it. The one with Jack Morris was just dragging for a long time.
You know, the crowd really got into Jake in that match with Kitamiya. He was going after the referee, doing his mannerisms and stuff that he always does. But the crowd, like, normally stuff for me is kind of lame, but the crowd really took to him there, which I think is kind of interesting. Like you said, the match with Jack, it wasn't as great, ultimately.
Yeah, you could see that in the first 10 minutes of the match that this was going the time limit because they were... There's a thing about pro wrestlers that know that they have to do a long match. They do everything extra slow. They climb the top rope very slowly. They throw punches really slowly, and that's what you saw in this match. While in comparison, the Kitamiya and Jake Lee match, it had the intensity to it. It had the mannerisms, the face expressions. That was really good. Quickly going back to Hurricane and before we go to this past weekend, the show on Friday, you said, the show that had the big bump that had 926 fans in attendance was the best show of the tournament, without question. This not only had the great main event between Elijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. and Goshi Ozaki, where we could see how over Wagner Jr. and his mannerisms are with the Noah crowd, and Shiozaki, of course, very over as well. It had a very good match between Kenno and Yuki Yoshioka, that had some great sequences based around the apron, with Kenno doing the handspring on the apron, for example. We also had Masaaki Tamiya and Yoshiki Nomura in a good match, but of course the one match that, from the positioning on the card, didn't seem like it would be an outstanding match, but your boy Dylan, Daiki Inaba, he showed up against Katsuhiko Nakajima.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great match, Inaba and Nakajima. I think it's a great, like, the way he worked it was really great, because basically it was set up to be like, oh, like, I know what you do, like, you knock people out, so you're not going to knock me out. Like, that might have worked on the others, but that won't work on me. I'm taking the fight to you right away. It reminded me a little bit of when Sugira and Fujita had their match, and Fujita tried to do his staring crap, and Sugira's like, screw that, we're fighting. And that's kind of what this felt like. Like, Inaba's like, okay, I know I'm supposed to be your victim, but screw that, let's fight. And they fought, and it was awesome. And even the finish was great, where Nakajima, like, he put a little extra hot sauce on the vertical spike, I thought, in there. It really put him over. It was a really strong match. Like the main event was obviously the match that everybody talked about, but that match was great, too. The Kenno and Yoshioka match, I thought Kenno was really good in that match overall. Yeah. Like, he was really great. The crowd was so into him as well. And Yoshioka, this is probably his best match of the tournament so far. But I do think he was this match kind of showed he was at a level below Kenno, ultimately. Through the charisma side of things, obviously. But just because of how they wrestled, I thought Kenno did a much better job overall. And, you know, it felt like he wanted to have this great match, and Yoshioka was kind of doing his thing. And Dean kind of mentioned it on the show we did. Yoshioka, he kind of has a vibe that's like, they made me enter this tournament. Like, I didn't really want to do it. I'm just going through the motions, kind of. And that's kind of the vibe I've gotten from him as well, that there's just no passion coming from him in these matches, I feel like. And it's kind of a shame, because I was always a defender of his run. And this is a criticism of his that's been going around since he's won the title at DG. And I always said, no, he actually is a charismatic guy. You see him have great ace energy. He has little mannerisms, and like the smirk he had versus, I think it was Yamato in their match, where he smiled when he got up and hit the frog splash to win. He has a lot to him. But then in this tournament, you see, Maybe. Yeah, like compare him to Anzai. And me, Anzai has shown a lot more of the two outsiders, in my opinion.
Yeah. Almost feels like he's somewhat of a foreign body in this match, in this tournament. Doesn't really fit in. And a lot of the matches... I mean, for example, like let's look at, for example, Yuki Yoshioka against Adam Brooks on the undercard on Sapporo on Saturday. This match really didn't have a lot to it. I mean, Adam Brooks, he had this great opening match with the great opening victory with Kano. But otherwise, I don't really sense too much with him in this tournament. And Yoshioka, you said it, he doesn't really feel like he's extra motivated. So this one was pretty cold match, too.
Yeah, Brooks has really added nothing.
The one thing that this match had was the battle look finish off the top rope that looked really nice.
That is one thing I actually like about Yoshioka in general in this tournament. I like that he's used different finishers each win he's had. He used the battle hook there. He used the Inferno in the first match. And he had the flash pin in the other one he had. So they've shown him respect. I like that he's mixed up his moves. He's still a very talented guy. I'm not saying he's not. I just think that when you see him on paper, you want him to really elevate. Because I was a huge fan of his title reign in DG. I thought he had a lot of great matches. And I don't think that he's really elevated to the level that I expected of him yet. But he's done some good things. It's not like I hate his tournament. It just feels like he's a guy that you expect a 10 and you're getting 7s out of a lot. And,
yeah, I guess so. Yep. We talked about the show on the 11th, and they had a big break. And now we had the show on the 19th that I just mentioned. And, both of these shows... really so-so, and there's not a lot of content that you really need to go all of the way to see. Like I said, the Jake Lee versus Masaki Tamiya match I liked. Then another match that it's a mild, soft recommendation, I'd say. Nakajima against Yuma Anzai. Thought they had a good match.
That was my favorite match on that show. I thought that was better than the main event.
Sure. Why not? A clear story here with Yuma Anzai showing up against Nakajima and wanting to prove a point that he's from All Japan, that he won't back down against Nakajima. Nakajima, though, in the end, of course, very easily put Anzai, the rookie, away, as he should have. So this was a very good story going in it.
I love Anzai. I think he's been one of the standout players. Him and Go, to me, have been the two best guys.
Oh, yeah, Go was good.
In the tournament. Yeah, Go's been good in all of his matches, pretty much. Even against Anawai on this show, I thought he did a good job. And the other matches he was really great with. And their match against each other was my favorite match of the tournament so far. So I love Go, and I think Anzai's really just shown why he's at where he's at, and not even a year into his career, and why everybody loves him so much, because he's freaking awesome. And the fans have rallied behind him as well, I've noticed, even in Noah. He's been a guy that has not been treated as an enemy foreigner, but a guy that they like to... And it's good because he's got an automatic story as the underdog, you know? A rookie player, not even a year in his career, facing these veterans like Nakajima, known for beating the hell out of everybody. Of course you're going to want to see what Anzai can do there. And Nakajima did a great job as well, as he always does as well. And I thought Anzai's selling is so great in all of these matches. He really is a top-tier seller. Yeah, like top-tier seller already in any company, in my opinion. Just really good stuff. And told a great story, too, with Nakajima, where he lost early. And now he's very traditional, again, very traditional story. But still, like, a fine story to do with him as well. So I liked what they did there. Unfortunately, on the other show, I think Go and Inaba could have had a great match. But but Inaba had to drop out for a little while. But still, though, the second show, like we said, the main event wasn't that great. Jake and Jack, what did you think of Kenno and Thatcher?
To be quite honest, I don't have many memories of that match.
What do you think of all of Thatcher's matches so far in the tournament?
I don't have many memories of Thatcher's matches.
Have any of them?
Nothing has been anything that stood out.
It's a shame because I love him so much, and I want
where
him to
he's
have
great at. That's what you saw in this match against Kenno as well. He's
so great at selling. He sold the PFS as if he was dying in the middle of the ring. And he couldn't kick out because he completely got the wind stomped out of his stomach. That was great. Otherwise, I didn't think these two had great chemistry.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good match. I thought his match with Jake was really good, actually. Like, the main event of the first show.
Yeah.
But since then, it's like, not a lot there.
His matches. He didn't really get a lot of time in his matches either. It was... The one that I'm thinking about, the Yuki Yoshioka match, was really short, but otherwise he had 13 and 12 minutes. The Thatcher Inamura match was a nice one because he was stretching Inamura in and out. Jack Morris was fine. This one, Kano, I didn't really like a lot. Finish was great, though. Yeah. Thatcher, I don't know. And we said it on the first day. This was the main event of the first show, and it did really a poor house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a really bad number for the first show. That's a shame, especially when you could compare him to kind of his, you know, other side of the coin, Hideki from last year, who had a great tournament and did a lot of great things. You wanted him to have a similar role to what Hideki had, but it just hasn't materialized, unfortunately. And that's coming from me. I love Thatcher, but
me too. It just doesn't feel like that. He's even remotely on the level that Hideki Suzuki was, because with Hideki, he always has this aura around him that he's this unbeatable guy, and you really have to work a lot and work hard until you beat Hideki Suzuki. It doesn't feel like that Thatcher has that going for him.
No, I agree with that for sure. And they've respected him before the tournament, and they've kind of respected him in the tournament, but definitely before the tournament. When he was having singles matches, it's tough when you're a team with Huxley.
Yeah, never a good sign when you're a tag champ going into a tournament like this.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. But the whole show was kind of a nothing show, ultimately. Yeah. Like, there was nothing here I would consider. The Wagner and Anzai match was pretty good, but like probably one of Anzai's lesser matches, in my opinion. You'd think when he fires up after his great selling, that's when you want the crowd to rally, but it didn't happen here. Like, the crowd wasn't into him for whatever reason on this show. Wagner was, though. Like, they gave Wagner some love, so that was good. But decent show.
Ultimately, none of these matches on these two shows in Sapporo were any way recommended matches.
Yeah,
it felt like a weekend they put together because they had to go through it.
Yeah, I might go with Nakajima and Anzai, but that's about it. Yeah. Even then, they've had better matches.
But even that, imagine they had done Nakajima and Anzai and Kirk and like Anzai and Shizaki.
Yeah, that would have been really good. What have did you watch any of the matches with the new guy, Owada?
Yeah, I watched the one on the Sunday show. Was it the Sunday show? Yeah, it was, right?
He's been on every show.
Yeah, but I didn't watch all of his matches.
Oh.
I watched the one against Taishi Osawa on the Sunday show. I really thought that Yu Owada looked good in here. Really liked the finish. The missile kick that Osawa did looked very, very good. So, yeah, both of these two look like they have a good upside.
Yeah, it was that match. There was one with Fujimura earlier on the Korakuen show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That was pretty good. Again, nothing like you have to rush out to see, but for a 5-minute match, you know, you're getting some good stuff. And the Ozawa match, I really like Ozawa. I think he's kind of underrated as a prospect. He's a guy that I really think has a lot of tools, a very unique look and style. Great finisher, as you said, as well. I like what they're doing with him. I think he's a really underrated prospect. So keep your eyes on Ozawa. I think there's a big future for him. The problem is that you know how it goes.
Yeah, they don't ever do anything with those guys that they have. He'll probably be on the same level for 3 years and...
Or 8 years, like Inamura.
8 years. Yeah. Even Kai Fujimura at this point. How long has he been in Noah?
Yeah, he's a Wrestle 1 guy. And
he's been in Noah since 2021, and he still is considered a rookie.
It sucks. Like, why? Why do they... do that. Not that we know, there's no answer to this, of course. It's a ridiculous idea to even treat them like this. But yeah, Fujimura has a lot of potential. A great junior heavyweight type of player you could do something with. You need guys like that. I mean, the junior division is just a black hole with Hayata at the top right now. There's no good to be had.
I didn't make any effort to watch these junior heavyweight tag team title tournament, number one contendership tournament matches. I didn't have any energy to do that.
I'll tell you this. The tag division is better than the singles one now that Ridgeway and Daga are champions.
Yeah.
And especially when Yohei. Huh?
They are not even there.
Yeah. That's true. Well, that's why they're doing this tournament. Pretty much. but there was a good match. The one with Yohei Tadasuke and Yoshioka Nohara was a good match. Like I thought, I watched all the tournament matches. Most of them were none of them are bad, but that was actually a really good match. You wish Yoshioka would do something more, in this company. You say that about so many guys, but he especially is the one I always point to as hey, this guy can be a star, like a star player for the junior division. But they clearly don't agree with that.
No, they don't. Well. That's as far as we can go about the matches so far. Dylan, what do you think is going to happen now? Who is going to the finals?
Yeah, when we did our prediction show, I had
predicted... Great show, by the way. Listen to it.
Oh, you did? Oh, thank you. Like I said, thank you so much. I'm glad. I thought Dean and Dr. Jonathan were great guests. Big shout out to
them. It was so great that they had this plan laid out for the pick'ems, and it really materialized for them in the end for their pick'ems, not for the real standings, of course, but for the pick'ems. It really worked out for them in the end.
Oh, yeah. Dean is like a Noah genius, pretty much. And Dr. Jonathan, a great person. He was at some of these shows. In Japan, we did a little talk on the Patreon. He had to go early, but a big shout out to that guy, Jonathan. Man, I love that guy so much. Doing some big things. I can't wait till everybody gets to see his stuff coming up in the future. Man, big shout out to Dr. Jonathan. He was there at the Corkin shows for Noah as well. There, so he had a lot of fun there too. Especially the last show, the one on Friday with Wagner and Go. He really liked that, and I think everybody agrees. Whether you were there or whether you watched at home, it was the best show of the tournament. But yeah, like you said, we all kind of had plans laid out, and that was a lot of fun. I predicted Nakajima and Keno as the final before, and I think that makes sense. The way they've done it, I think it works out pretty well, so far. B Block's kind of confusing because it's everybody's alive, pretty much. So nobody can really you can't count on anybody. But I think we all knew the way they set up the final show. Oh, Jake versus Keno and Go versus Nakajima. I think we know what matches are going to determine the block, pretty much. Yeah. So it'll be one of those four will be in the finals of each block.
Exactly, that's pretty much how it's going to pan out, especially. Now with Goshi Ozaki still at he's at 6 points. Yeah, he's 6, but he dropped 2 recently. So he'll be alive. If he beats Soya, that should be happening. Soya had quite the nice run for him, like I said. So Go and Nakajima will win both of their matches on the 26th, and then Go in the match on the 27th with the same amount of points, which will then be 8 points, and the winner of that will be at 10, advancing to the finals.
The only way I could see something different, and this is kind of how I predicted it in the pickups, it didn't play out exactly as I said, but they could still do this if they wanted. Let's say one of them wins on the 26th and one of them loses, and then they go to a draw at the end, which is what I predicted. I didn't want them to. I didn't want one to beat the other in the Axis coming in.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if they're thinking like that, but just for me, I wasn't a big fan of them fighting at all. Actually, now that they've reunited Axis, I didn't think they should be in the same block. But again, I don't control Noah. So at the end of the day, if they wanted to do that, they could. If they wanted to take a page from my playbook there, but what you said is probably the most likely thing, though. They'll just both win and be alive on the last day.
Yeah.
Well, they'd still be alive if one win and one loss, but still, because you got the tiebreaker. Same with A-Block, which looks like what they might do with Jake and Keno.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at Lance's tournament. Yeah, he's for sure losing to Nakajima because Lance already is at 6.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Go, like I said, dropped 2, so he's pretty surely winning as well, so...
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, you know, like for them to both win. But if they wanted, they could do it. But now with everyone at 6, they pretty much have to both win. Yeah. You know, when you got 5 guys at 6 at this point. So, yeah, they'll both win and then go into the last night.
Keno breaking through in Block A makes total sense as well. The champion in the final is always a weird idea to go with. Masaki Tamiya and Yoshioka both not going to advance to the finals. So it's pretty much going to be Keno. Yeah, Keno and Nakajima. Sounds like a good final.
You're forgetting one thing, though, Striga. Champions never lose. They told us that in Jake Lee's YouTube video interview before the tournament. Which, by the way, fantastic work on Noah's part. The interviews on YouTube they did for every person, they were like little 4-minute videos, 4 or 5-minute videos, where it was just... Hey, who are you looking forward to facing in the tournament? What's your motivations? What are you trying to do? Everybody had one of those, and I thought they were all really good for all 16 players. But his, and for whatever reason, I don't know who started this, but somebody on Noah's YouTube, they make these crazy thumbnails for everybody. That I don't know what that's all about, but on his, it just said in all capital letters, champions never lose. So they've told us that for him to be the champion, he cannot lose any matches, which he has not to this point so far. So if he loses to Keno, he's not a champion anymore, and they have to give up the title based on their
own high stakes
YouTube rules. Yes, exactly. That's the one thing they won't do is break the YouTube video promises they made us.
They would never. Pretty much has to be Keno, right?
Oh, yeah, it'll be Keno. Do you think it'll be Nakajima or Go that advances?
I think it will be Nakajima. I think he won a profit from the great victory that he had over Kento Miyahara.
And that was exactly why I picked him. The pick him. Like, that was my exact point.
Do you think they had somebody else in mind before that match happened?
They could have. I mean, Go, the story of him never winning the N1 is kind of there. That was kind of
strong
the thing everyone...
story as well.
Yeah, that's what everyone pointed to. But I think the reaction was so strong to that Nakajima Kento thing that you want to strike while it's hot, you know? And you need that.
I think so. I think you need it.
What about the idea? Because this is something I've seen floated out there. What if Jake won the tournament and Kaito came out to face him afterwards? And that was what they went with.
With what reasoning?
The worst case scenario.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
What realistically could you tell that Kaito Kiyomiya gets a title match out of?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's working these undercard matches now. I think that might be where he stays for a little while. But yeah, like I said, I agree. That's just something I saw. That's just something I saw floated out there. But I agree with you.
I think that's one more chapter in the book. Everybody wants Kaito Kiyomiya to succeed.
Yes. This unfinished book, or unstarted book, actually. Yes. Yeah, like he hasn't even gotten there yet to succeed. But I really think Nakajima is the right call. If it were me, that's what I would do. I would have Nakajima win the tournament. Personally.
Yeah, absolutely agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Pro Wrestling Noah. We go to All Japan Pro Wrestling. They started their Odo tournament. The Royal Road tournament is underway. They began in Curtain Hall on Saturday in front of 936 fans. With 4 first round matches, Dan Tamura beat Kotaro Suzuki in 7 minutes. A pretty alright match. Takuya Nomura defeated Hokuto Omori in 10. Also alright. Didn't sense that they had great chemistry with one another. Satoshi Kojima put away Rei Saito in 9 minutes. This was all right. And Shuji Ishikawa beat Renayabe, which I thought was the exact wrong result. If you want to push Renayabe, I thought he could have gone over Shuji Ishikawa. But what you're going to say, 15 minutes, none of these matches were really outstanding.
Yeah, it's hard for me to add on to anything you said, because I completely agree, actually.
But there was really one match on the show that stood out. It was the main event match. Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi defended their All Japan World Tag Team title against the team of Yuji Nagata and Ryokyu Honda. And this was the Ryokyu Honda show throughout all 23 minutes of the match. Yuji Nagata was there too, but it was more about Ryukyu Honda really showing that he had made a huge step up all year. This is one of the biggest success stories in All Japan Pro Wrestling this year, and I am pretty certain that he would have already gotten his title match if this weird elbow knockout against Sokuto Omori wouldn't have happened at the one of the Kurikan Hall shows before. I think it was in July, where they did this horrendous referee job, and they had to pick up Honda again and drag him into the ring, which we talked about it at the time, was just absolutely horrendous, even with the veterans like Tanizaki in the ring, just poor job. I think he could have challenged Aoyagi before that, but then they had this loss to Hokuto Omori, and they put Omori in the spot. But now it seems like that Ryokyu Honda really is hot. The finish once again was Kento Miyahara defeating Honda, much like in the Champion Carnival. But in contrast to the Champion Carnival match, I put that on Twitter as well, here it felt more like that Honda was on equal footing with both the Triple Crown champion and the ace of the company, Kento Miyahara. And it was a very hot finishing sequence. So if you want to check out one match of this show, this should really be the World Tag Team title match.
Yeah, and I think when they were doing the Champion Carnival stuff, they were still kind of, you know, that's when he first came out with the new look. He was really doing like much more heelish type of stuff. Now with Nagata as his kind of partner or mentor or whatever that they're doing, they can really tap into how great he actually is, which he's always been. Like, you know, for years now, he's been a tremendous worker, a great character, very charismatic. Like, everything about him reads like a star to me. And to see him in this match, he looked great. You know, obviously the next match, like the singles match he had, he also looked great. But he's just a really strong performer. I really love everything about him. Good size to him. Great worker. I've always liked him. And I think him and Kento and Yuma all have great chemistry together. Going back to Honda versus Kento in the final of the Triple Crown tournament from start of 2022, I think, when Suwama had to give up the title. Or maybe Jake. I can't remember specifically, but they did a tournament where they had him and Honda shockingly made the final, and they had a great match at the end. And to see him versus Yuma showed you that again. And like I said, it was a great redemption story, because I really thought he lost a lot in the Champion Carnival with everything going on. He really had a big downgrade in how they used him, even though he was getting wins, but he was so ass, like, all throughout the tournament, pretty much. And not through his fault, but because of how they wanted him to work. With the referee bumps, the low blow. I'm like, man, I don't need that from you. Not you, Honda. You are my guy. You're all hits. All you do is do great things. Don't go with this crap. But the look's still there, but he wrestles a lot better now that he's teamed up with Nagata. And they're telling a good story with him as well. So,
yep. That's pretty much it. Looking at this undercard, there wasn't a lot that you could go to. The second show happened just today as we're recording in Shinkiba First Ring, once again in front of a very hot crowd. The Shinkiba crowd is always great for All Japan Wrestling. One of the better Shinkiba crowds. 322 fans officially, Super No Vacancy, full house, and the matches we got here, at least the final two, were much, much better than the one that we got in Kurikan, which is crazy to think about, but that's where we are.
Yeah.
First, Hayato Tamura beat Jun Saito, and I thought even that was much better than all the matches we had on Saturday. because
hey, yeah, this Tamura is a great performer, man. Like I really love
it's, him. It's crazy when you let him win, right? What happened?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, it's June. Like you know, like let's not go crazy now. But like,
but he really took to him.
But he wrestles. But the thing is, he's great. Like no matter what, like he wrestles so good. Great look. Another guy. Like he's another one like Honda. Like super young, but still he has all the tools that you want. Like I actually think if you could get Honda back to where he was like a year ago and team him with Tamura, they'd be like a natural Ooh. Pairing together.
It would be great, yeah.
Yeah, like a great pairing. I love him. And the Saito brothers, we talked about, they did better in the Carnival than maybe a lot of people thought as well. Yep. And you saw this with June. I thought they worked well together. Tamura looked like a beast going over the big man, like straight up, like, hey, I'm hitting this lariat, baby. Boom! He hit him with it. He pop locked it, dropped it on him. It was a great match.
Yeah, man, these two just went all out. It was just an all-out war. Two units just crashing into each other. This was fun, yeah. And then Suwama beat Fumino Reabe 24 seconds. Abe attacked him with a punch. Then he was back to the corner. Suwama hit the John Woo dropkick, and that was it.
I mean, what realistically... What did we expect to happen?
My call was Fumino Reabe upsetting him with the Hurricane Rana.
Oh, well, that was never going to happen. Ultimately, Suwama known for doing jobs to small men. I mean, like I said, it's just such a ridiculous match. Like I said it in previous, like it's such a silly match on paper. So I think this was probably about. And Abe, he's such a. Oh, an amazing worker, like a wonderful talent, but also kind of a goofy guy as well. So it kind of fits his aesthetic.
It fits
as,
to him.
As well.
I mean, this is a total nothing match. This doesn't hurt any of these two. It doesn't even, for Suwama, it doesn't give him anything either.
No, of course not. Yeah. This was literally just an ego stroking move by Suwama to win in 20 seconds. Like much like everything he does in All Japan is basically for that. Instead of talking about this, let's talk about a match on the undercard. Zones.
Oh, Zones.
Yeah, and Chi-Chi, who is my favorite of the Evolution girls. I thought their match was very fun with Saki and Unagi Sayaka. Saki all caps once again.
I haven't gotten to watch the matches on the undercard yet. I went straight to the tournament matches.
Oh, well, I like the match. I like Zones and Chi-Chi both. I think Zones gets all the publicity because of the name, but Chi-Chi is like a very fun wrestler as well. They're building up to Kairi coming in to face Unagi. And
exactly, Brent. Yeah. Unagi and a friend that they mentioned now, who is going to be Sari.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that card in a bit here, but first, the next two matches, the final two matches on the first round. Kento Miyahara defeated Atsuki Aoyagi. I thought, really good match. They played with the idea of Atsuki Aoyagi upsetting Kento Miyahara numerous times during the match. You knew that was not going to happen, but for example, the Lamaist trial that Atsuki Aoyagi put on Kento Miyahara, it was a really close call, so that Kento once again made you believe that he would drop the fall to the younger Aoyagi brother. In the end, it was once again the shutdown suplex hold, much like Saturday, that sealed the deal for Miyahara. A good match.
Like you said, these two matches were outshined anything on the first show. The main event really stood out, but this was a good match too. Atsuki's always fun. Specifically when he wrestles Kento, it feels like he gains a little bit of his brother's
swag
attitude. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he gains a little bit of that when he faces Kento for some reason, rather than him being like the junior guy. So I always really enjoy them together, and I thought they did a very good job here. And like you said, he was very respectful to Atsuki here. He like gave him a lot in this match. I thought they worked a heck of a match together. And it's one that you could look at and say, hey, you got to check this match out. This is really good. If you don't know about this Atsuki, it's Kento Miyahara. Everybody knows him. But, you know, these guys go together like peanut butter and jelly. I really love their chemistry. Even above, I mean, obviously, Yuma and Kento are well known together for their matches. But I think Atsuki and Kento have great chemistry with each other as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I thought that Ryukyu Honda and Yuma Aoyagi also had great chemistry in this main event match. This was my favorite match of the first round by far, gotta say. Ryukyu Honda is just so great right now. He's on a very hot run. The crowd is behind him. He has this new deal where he counts along with the referee when he has his opponents in the ropes, which is always a fun opening act for all of his matches. But as soon as the match progresses, he gets really serious and he hits these tremendous looking lariats. It almost looks like he takes his opponent's head off. He did numerous times in the match with Yuma Aoyagi. And then it was the final event, his finishing move, the a variant of the Muso drop, which dropped the champion and got Ryukyu Honda the big win in the first round. Much like pretty much everybody had this match earmarked as an upset match, so nobody really should have been surprised about this one. But yeah, this really was a strong, strong weekend for young Ryukyu Honda.
Yeah, I mean, I got all eight matches right, you know, so I don't want to say they were predictable, but they kind of were. Overall, but predictable is not bad when you do good things with them. And Honda winning was definitely a good thing. It's good that people are taking notice because I've always just been super high on his train. I thought that every time he's gotten a little bit of momentum, they've kind of fallen back on it. I thought him and Oshino last year were a great tag team, like way underrated to me. And I just love everything about him, really. Like I said, a total package. I still think that the look sucks, though. That kind of holds him back a little bit for me. But as a worker, I mean, he's fantastic. Like, you know, a performer, like you said, not even just his wrestling, but his charisma is so great. Always gets along with the fans. Made a lot of good things happen here. And I'm a big fan of his. I think he deserved it. Will be interesting to see what they do with him and Kento.
That's the match that I'm looking at. So, of course, this may be outdated at the point that you're listening to this, because tomorrow, another show in Shinkiba. For the second round of the Odo tournament, we have Hayato Tamura versus Uwama, Takuya Nomura versus Satoshi Kojima, Den Tamura versus Shuji Ishikawa, and Kento Miyahara versus Ryukyu Honda, Dylan. So, what do you have?
I really wish Tamura would win, but I think Suwamo probably will, ultimately.
The tournament?
No, I'm sorry, talking a little bit at their matches right now.
Oh.
Like, Tamura faces Suwamo, and Nomura faces Kojima.
Tamura faces Ishikawa. Tamura faces Ishikawa and Suwamo.
Oh, Dan Tamura. Yeah, I'm talking
Dan, the other Tamura, yeah.
Stringer, right now. But yeah, I'll go with Suwama. Kojima will beat Takuya. Ishikawa will beat Dan.
Yeah.
And Kento will beat Honda, I think.
I think so, too. There's this deal that they have a title match announced for September 3, I think. And then the week later, they have the Yoyogi show.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in Aori Nagaoka.
Yeah.
Yuma Aoyagi announced that he'll have a title match there. And with Honda picking the upset here, they could do the Honda match in Nagaoka and Kento Miyahara wins the tournament, and then they could... Do you want to do the match early, or do you want to do the match in December? That's the thing here with Kento and Yuma Aoyagi.
That's true. I think the way you said it makes perfect sense, to be honest. Because if you're going to drag this out to December, who? Who of these eight would win?
Yeah.
Suwama.
Suwama is not winning because he recently...
He already had the title match. Kojima?
Yeah.
That's not exciting, but it's possible.
It's not exciting, it's possible. It would be another New Japan guy that they gave to Yuma Aoyagi. It could work out.
Yeah.
Shuji?
I don't think he should win the tournament. He could get a title shot Like, you know, in between September and December, I feel like would kind of be a better role for him than winning the tournament.
Yeah.
Because then he'd have to be Kento, and I don't know if they want to do that.
Ultimately, I would want to have a strong main event for Yoshiyogi, and since they pretty much are going to do a title match there, they can't do an Atsuki, they can't do an Yuma and Kento tag title match.
Yep.
So why not Yuma and Kento?
Yeah, I think that's the easiest answer. At the end of the day, just have Kento win the tournament overall.
Yeah.
Like, that's cut and dry, very simple. And figure something out with the, you know, because then you'll have real world tag league going on at the time around December. You might be able to pull a big match out of that and then also have the title match there. Yeah, I think Kento's the easy answer here, but I wouldn't completely rule out Kojima either.
I wouldn't either. But now, as we're talking about it, Dylan, I still have a choice to make for my fantasy draft, and I went back and forth. I am going with the wild card for me is going to be Kento Miyahara. That's the only changes that I make. I'm gonna forward you the changes after the show so you can put that into the counting. Yeah, Kento Miyahara is my wild card, yeah.
All right, well, this is something we will definitely talk about more as time goes along.
Or I'm thinking about changing my junior heavyweight as well. Because the thing is, you know, we thought that Rising Hayato was winning the junior title, but they are doing that show on the Great Show, that match on the Great Show.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you think that Rising Hayato wins the title on the other company show?
It's great. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It's just where. What's the point of this Lindemann stuff if he doesn't win?
I don't know.
Yeah, like, you know, like then what? If he loses, like, what are they doing?
I have no idea. So I'm not confident in either Lindemann and Rising Hayato. I'm staying with Kota Minua for the time being with my junior heavyweight. So only change is Kento Miyahara.
Okay. It's just less stressful that way.
It is. Yeah. So that's All Japan Pro Wrestling. So check out the matches we recommended. Mostly, of course, the Ryokyo Honda matches. He has been the standout of these two shows we talked about. And then, Dylan, final topic for today is the 5-star Grand Prix tournament by Stardom. After last Sunday, their show in Kira Messe Numazu, we have the Red Stars block that only had matches on that show. The Red Star block is currently led by Natsupoi, who has 9 points. Then we have Natsuko Tora with 8, Tam Nakano, Mayu Iwatani, and Shuri at 5, Zuzu Suzuki at 4, Ami Sorei, Starlight Kid and Hazuki at 2, and Saya Kamitani at 0 points. And let me pull out the Blue Stars. Blue Stars, Mina Shirakawa at 6, Momo Watanabe at 6, Julia at 5, Mirai, Asumi, Utami Hayashishita, Sori Ano, and Mariah May at 4, and Maika at 3, and Hanan at 2 points. Yeah, Dylan, the tournament, how's it going so far? What do you think about the tournament? Who looked strong in it? What do you have to say about the 5-star Grand Prix?
It's good. The schedule's a little weird. And that's kind of the only problem with it. But there's been a lot of good matches. I think Ano has been the really big standout, in my opinion. Just done a lot of great work up and down her matches. Brawling matches, big matches there. I really enjoy her. Julia as well would be the other one. They've done some stuff here and there. They've given some people some big wins.
Yeah.
Like Azumi got a win over Utami, which was exactly a great, like a fantastic match.
I'm really, really high on Natsupoi in this tournament. I thought she's looking very strong. Match against Starlight Kid, I really liked. The match against Suzuki was good. The one against Shuri was a standout match, in my opinion. And then
yeah, that was a great
they
match.
Recently had the one with Mayu Iwatani that I also saw. Also great match. She now has... It feels like that she is more of an attitude to her that really leads her to performing in a way that you think that she's winning these big matches, which she necessarily didn't have before. And she even said that after the Mayu Iwatani match. She said something along the lines of, look at me, Mayu, I am not the girl I used to be anymore. I am someone who could level you right now. So Natsupoi, really one of my favorite stories in this tournament.
Yeah, they continued that on the big show that they did where they won the tag titles.
Yes, exactly.
Poi and Ano, which I think is a fantastic
great
team.
Great tag team. They have so great chemistry with one another. They even do this double team move that led to the finish on Mariah May. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, they're great. Like, long-time real-life friends and partners and everything. Through the indies from originally in Stardom and then back to Stardom now. Pretty much they're just freaking awesome. I love both of them. It's a little unfortunate that the tag titles got flip-flopped a little bit, but it's okay. I mean, I was into Mariah and Mina. We don't know how long Mariah is going to be here anyway. Like, a lot of people think that.
Yeah.
I mean, she closed down her store and she posted that thing on Twitter where it's like, I'll never forget you, Japan. It kind of seems like she may not be long for this company.
Peps, though, said that she recently moved to Japan.
Oh, interesting. She's working people right now on there. So she's like, she'll never forget Japan.
Maybe she's
she'll
working us on both ends.
She'll never forget Japan because she won't leave there. Yeah. Maybe that's what she means. But still, though, love Natsupoi and Inanno, a great tag team. That whole show was kind of interesting overall. You saw the debut of Megan Bain in there.
Yeah, she thought she did well.
Yeah, did a fine job. Nakano's a great first opponent for her. Somebody who can really emote well.
Really one of those classic stories in Japanese pro wrestling, right? Hometown champion faces foreign monster. The only purpose for foreign monster is to make hometown champion look good.
Yeah.
Pro wrestling 101.
Yeah, and she did good and very well reviewed and for good reason. They've done some big things there. Mayu's had some good matches. A big story that they have was her and Tom Tai drawing each other, which is another kind of interesting thing that you could look at because Tom has never beaten Mayu. That kind of continues their story. And I had predicted Mayu to win the tournament in mine and Sandre's pickums that we did for this. Mayu was my pick to win for that exact reason, to give Nakano that last mountain that she hasn't climbed yet, pretty much. But that kind of felt like a clue that could be something they have in mind as well. It could be very cool to see. I think Mayu's had a great tournament. I mean, everybody knows that already. You don't need me to tell you that Mayu's great, pretty much. But everybody impressing. There's really been no down players. Even somebody like Watanabe is somebody who's not usually that great in her style. She's really bringing back her old level here in this tournament. She's really shown a new level that she didn't show last year. With the Wido Tai stuff, she's doing great. Even Tora is not doing bad. Like, a step below others, but still better than you would see in years past. I would say everybody's stepping their game up here. They had that Legend show, which was not that great except for the main event. The Yokota, Momoe, and Nanai match was, like, really good overall.
That sounds so wild, yeah.
Yeah, they faced Momo, Starlight, and you in there. So, like, a really fun match. The rest of the show you don't need to watch, really. But the main event was really good. The thing is, it's tough to really pick favorites of the tournament because they're all good, pretty much, you know. There's no real... Like I said, Shuri, another one we hadn't even talked about. A great performance in so many matches. Like, her and Hazuki had a great match not that long ago. Utami, like, feels like a forgotten woman in this tournament, and she's doing great stuff as well. Like, it's everybody's good. Like, that's kind of the thing with this. It's an embarrassment of riches, almost. Like, it's everything's so great. But that Azumi and Utami match is one of my favorites of the tournament.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that Kurikan Hall show. That's really got strong reviews. I haven't gotten a chance yet.
Yeah, and like I said, most everything is at least worth watching and good, and it's a great tournament, and I don't really have any more feel, like greater feel now to what they're doing than I did before, but it seems pretty smart, like, you know, like
we'll
pretty normal.
Be there for the ride, Dylan.
Well, and it's just, it feels like things are going as normal. Like, you know, pretty much, it's not like there's been somebody that's like really, I guess Tora getting all those wins, but the problem is what I said at the start of the tournament. She's going to have her last match in like a few days, and yeah. Then there's a whole month left of the tournament, so they had to give her wins early because her tournament's going to end early. So the schedule is what is the only issue I have with all of this, pretty much. If they had scheduled it better and more normal, I think that everything would like be a lot easier to talk about in terms of points and things like that. But just match quality wise, it's all really good.
Definitely. Yes. So that's the 5-star Grand Prix for now, and pretty much all that I have for this show. Oh, no, one thing that I wanted to mention before we go out, Dylan. Kyushu Pro. Oh, and we didn't talk about the All Japan show. Let's quickly go back to the All Japan show.
This is like our third time doing this with that show.
Rushed over the All Japan. Exactly. That's our third time doing that. Now that I'm thinking about the Yoshi wrestlers, we quickly have to go back to the Yoyogi show that I forgot about. It is on September 8th. Quickly have to pull out the card that they announced. So, Yoyogi. They didn't really announce a lot of matches so far for that show. They announced a six-man tag match. Masada, Keiichi Sato, and Kotaro Suzuki against Hokuto Omori, Naruki Doi, and Naoki Tanisaki. Then Koji Iwamoto is returning to All Japan Pro Wrestling, which is really great. It's cool that he is back. He is back with his guys from Sportiva. He recently had a match on the Heat Up show as well with Fuminori Abe and Shinya Ishida. On this show, it's Koji Iwamoto, Takuya Nomura, Fuminori Abe, and Ryo Inoue in a team of great, great wrestlers, and they are all very much alike. Love it, this team, against the Strong Hearts of T-Hawk, Elidaman, Shinyori Irie, and Junji. That's a cool match. And we, have this special tag match of Kairi and Sauriano against Unagi Sayaka and Sari. That's the matches that we have so far for Yoyogi, and we're expecting Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi as well. So right now, this looks like a card that has pretty much big drawing potential to it, with at least the Kairi match. We don't know for how much longer will be there. Oh, and I completely forgot, Dylan, there's more matches to that card, as I'm just looking at the All Japan website and not only PKDX. And we have the Kento Miyahara and Yuma Anzai match. Oh, and that's the thing that throws the wrench. I was thinking about that when we talked about the tournament. Kento is facing Yuma Anzai on the show, on the Yoyogi show.
Then maybe Kojima won.
Maybe Kojima wins, or maybe Honda wins.
That would be cool.
I completely forgot about that they announced the match. Yeah. And of course, the Evolution versus DDT match, Suwama, Hikaru Sato, and Nentamura against Jun Akiyama, Sanshiro Takagi, and Yusuke Okada. That's also on that card. And recently, Jun Akiyama and Kotaro Suzuki challenged Atsushi Onita and Yoshitatsu for the All Asia Tag Team title, and Onita told them, come back when you win in Yoyogi.
I don't know what to say about any of that, to be honest, with Onita, but Akiyama coming back is kind of a big deal. Like, he wasn't even there on the Budokan last year, but now he gets to do this. They did the angle in DDT.
Yeah, the Zuwama Vanity angle.
Yeah, where Evolution came in, and Sato bragged that he should be a DDT icon as well, which is true. Like a former champion in DDT, KOD yes. Champion.
Yes.
You know, so it makes sense. Akiyama coming into All Japan, do you think this leads to more?
No.
You don't think he's going to get the title shot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the title. Yeah, the title shot. Do you think he's winning the title? That's the question.
Yeah. Like, it's all Asia titles. Why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing, though, is I don't think that Akiyama has a lot to offer anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with, like, I hate saying it.
I mean, this could lead to another All Asia run, but what does it even mean?
I agree. The thing is, it'll be better than what we have now. but I mostly agree with you, though, that the days of him being a difference maker are kind of over, even in DDT. But, you know, he's really done most of what he can do in DDT as well, anyway. So him coming back actually does still mean something to All Japan. I do believe that, actually, that him coming back does mean something.
Yeah, I hope so.
I don't think he'll be like... I guess if they wanted to, they could stretch this out to maybe if you do something... I mean, who knows what they're going to do with Yuma and Kento at the moment. But if you wanted to have a one last big match, like Akiyama versus Yuma for the Triple Crown, that would be a meaningful win for Aoyagi if they wanted to do that. But I mostly agree, though, that... You know, he's not a main character anymore
for
the company. But I still think him... The roster is so thin that him coming in adds something at the end of the day for this particular situation. I think it takes a very particular situation for him to mean something, but I do think in this one, him coming in, like I said, I mean, you're running Yoshitatsu and Onita as champions. If you can improve upon that, that's a win. Akiyama will always have a legacy in the company. Will it mean a lot? Probably not, but I do think you could get one big match out of him at least.
Yeah. I mean... It won't be a big run or anything, but it could be a nice little transitional All Asia tech run, and then he's out again.
Yeah, I just build up to one match with Yuma. Like, because Yuma never beat him the first time, and that would feel like a nice little, like, you know, mountain that he climbed, pretty much. Yeah. Even if it doesn't mean as much as it would have, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, but still, like, I think it would still matter. But I think we're at the end. I mostly agree with you. I'm a little bit more optimistic that they can at least get one big match out of him.
Now that we talked about it, Kento winning doesn't seem all that likely. It doesn't seem likely that he'll win the Royal Road tournament. It could still be that Yuma Aoyagi defends the title in Yoyogi and Kento Miyahara beats Yuma Anzai and then challenges Yuma Aoyagi for whatever next big show they have. Maybe before December.
Yeah, they'll have one in October.
Yeah.
Who challenges at the third? And...
Yeah, I was just going to say, I still think it's going to be Honda.
And then Kojima will win the tournament.
Kojima could win the tournament, and then they'll do Yuma Aoyagi versus Kojima.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like I said, that was kind of what I was kind of leaning towards at first anyway, but especially now that they've announced the Kento and Anzai match. I think I think they could totally get by until December, honestly.
They could. All right. Now, it's good that we at least went back to that, even though it was a bit confusing. I'm sorry for that, but I didn't really pull up the card.
Yeah, the women's match, it's like a showcase match. It doesn't really mean anything. It's cool that Kairi and Anno team, I mean, they were wonderful with Natsupoi as the trios champions in Stardom. It's kind of crazy that Kairi's probable last match in Japan is for All Japan. Like, that's not something anybody would have predicted, I think, coming into it. But that's where we're at.
That's where we're at. I at least think that All Japan will once again get a nice house for Yoyogi with the lineup that they have there. Many prominent names from the current roster and the past, so it should be a good card.
Iwamoto wrestled in Big Japan too recently. It feels like he's starting to get in the mix a little bit more.
He is coming back.
Yeah, really cool to see. Like, he's a guy I really wondered. It feels like he left just so disenchanted with everything from All Japan. And he was gone for a while doing the Sportiva stuff. And now coming back around, maybe he's a guy. I don't know what they could. Like, I really don't know about his long term prospects at All Japan. But I think that he's a guy that would be a good guy to have on the roster. Again, you just want depth right now with them, because that's really their main issue, is like there's not enough guys, but the guys they do have are pretty good for the most part. So having him in there, mid-card type of dude, I think there's value in that. It's not going to be like box office or anything like that, but there's value for the shows overall if he's there.
Yes, The one thing that I was going to bring up at the end of the show is the Kyushu Pro 15th anniversary show, Dylan. I don't know if you've seen the match. I was a huge, huge fan of the main event of that show. We talked about it at the time. They drew 4,000 fans to the Fukuoka International Center, which is a great, great draw for a company that size. They are just deeply rooted in this region where they put on shows, and it shows whenever they put on their events, people come, people are into the action. We had Kota Inosaki returning from excursion. He was in Europe, and I think he was in England and mainland Europe for the most part. He was also in Mexico. Yeah, he was in Mexico and in Europe for his excursion. He slimmed down very noticeably, but at the same time put on some muscles, so he looks much, much better than in his initial run in Kyushu Pro Wrestling. And they made sure to put him over strong in the main event. He won the Kyushu Pro title from Mentai Kid. Mentai Kid had only beaten Tajiri in February. And now Kota Inosaki is back on top. This three-way was the best three-way match I've ever seen in Japanese pro wrestling. And I put it in my review on Cage Match. Japanese wrestling is really not known for putting on good three-way matches. But this one was a great, great exception to the rule. They did many, many three-way spots that were all completely designed to showcase Kota Inosaki as the monster that puts away both Genkai and Mentai Kid at the same time, which he did, ultimately, because he won this match clearly with a double pinfall on both the champion and the other challenger, Genkai. I gave this 9 out of 10, and good friend of the show, CFOs, he also gave it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I always like watching their shows. Like, they're very easy to watch on YouTube, like Kyushu Pro, and I really enjoyed that match, the three-way. I think that these guys are all really talented. Nozaki was great, like you said. Genkai's a guy that I've always really enjoyed. He's been one of my favorite guys in the Kyushu Pro roster. And just this weird ragtag group that they have here. Yeah. Honma was on the undercard. you had Kota Umeda there. Hidemaru Sasaki, one of my favorites as well. They're a great tag team, Sasaki and Umeda. Yeah,
What do you think about the Italian guys on the card? The BBB team, the Brixia Bone Breakers, Mirko Mori and Nico Inveradi.
Yeah, see, I really didn't know that much about them, but I thought they looked pretty good.
Me either.
It was like a short match, but I mean, like them and Shikuzen, I thought did a good little run there.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a great match or anything, but it was a nice little thing. You get an Italian and a Korean in there with Nanpun,
right?
Their tag team partners. So you get a little bit of everybody in Kyushu Pro.
Lot of Europeans that I've never heard of before. They have these Italian guys. They have Jake Reed from England. They recently had a guy named Owen Blanco who's from Malta. They are scouting well.
Yeah, I love it. Like, what a melting pot that they've got together in this company. Like, very fun. If you want a good, like, really indie company, they're one of the ones you have to go to.
They are the one company with real big production values behind it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, all their shows are very easy to get into. That's something that I always value a lot. Especially if you're a newer fan, maybe you're not into the smaller companies, check out Kyushu Pro. I think you'll like what you see, more or less. I mean, sometimes there'll be goofy stuff like on there too a lot. Like they're an indie company at the end of the day. You know, there's going to be weird stuff, and Tajiri is involved, so nothing's perfect. But like the top end stuff, you'll probably really enjoy it. They've got a good cast of characters there.
Absolutely, yes. So sorry for the confusion again on the All Japan part. It was a long day too, so yeah. Glad that we got the show done, Dylan. Really enjoyed this once again, and what's going on the Patreon? I heard that you did reviews with the Dean there.
Yeah, we covered all of Noah so far. We did the show a few days ago, pretty much. Real fast to get through the Corcoran shows. Dr. Jonathan showed up for a little while. We talked a bit about some stuff. His trip to Kawada's noodle shop was very fun as well. Big love to Dr. Jonathan going in there. Dean, great guy too. Me and Sandre covered Stardom 5-Star Grand Prix as well. So you're getting everything going on right now. Like, you basically get it on the Patreon on there. Toyota Tuesdays, almost caught up too. In my backlog, we're going to get new episodes probably in a month or so. Like, I'll start writing new ones too. So we'll everything's collapsed at that point. But like in All Japan Women, we're talking like late 90s. Like, you know, things are not where they were at the peak, but still a lot of fun stuff. Like a fun foray into Joshi history. That episode is not just for Toyota, but I talk about stuff going on at the time in the company as well. It's kind of fascinating when you look at their trajectory as a company. But yeah, Patreon's great. Check out my other shows, Lucha Talk. We just did an episode on a horrible Triple Mania show that they had.
Oh, now you're selling me.
Oh, it's fun to listen to. Just don't watch their show. Listen to us. Don't watch it yourself.
That's how I do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we did it so you don't have to at the end of the day. Next episode should be a lot better, though, because Anniversario is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
As well. Really recommend, too, the Grand Prix that CMLL did just a couple days ago. Whenever you guys can watch that, check it out. You know, you had a Balianaki in there representing India. Kushida was there, TJP. Cool. So you got some Hiromu was there. You got some New Japan guys. You got, a lot of random people, but a lot of the top Mexican talents. Really fun match. The crowd totally loves the Mexico versus the world.
Yeah, they do.
Check out Wrestle Update. We just did a show talking about all kinds of craziness in American wrestling. Love Nello being on there, having a great co-host finally. Cash Wheeler pulling out guns on people. CM Punk banning people from the arenas. And Asuka going crazy on Twitter. Now it's a lot of interesting things going on as we head to the biggest show of the year. I don't know if they know that's the case, but the biggest show in the company's history. But a lot of crazy things happening there. And I'll have Sandre on too on that show because he's going to be there live at All In. And we'll get the word on the street pretty much there.
Ooh, yes.
And me and Nello covering a GCW too on there. I will for the first time in years watch GCW.
I will also get into some of the shows in preparation for them coming to Germany in late September. I bought a ticket to a GCW show.
Oh, okay. Like I said, that's going to be interesting. Like I said, I don't know. I'm coming in with a very open mind to these GCW shows. Historically, they're not my favorite company, but I will give them a chance here and see what we can get. See what we will get.
Yes, absolutely. Hope you got a show that you enjoyed here. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.